We are back on Get Up, and we are talking about Tampa Tom. He's talking to Howard Stern, promising to let loose. You'll hear exactly what he said right off the top. Then, the new coach in Washington sends a clear signal of which player his team will take at two and which player it won't. You'll hear it right from Ron. And don't miss Dana White live on where and why his fights are still going on in the midst of the pandemic. All of that and more in this hour. Let's get up, starting right now. And we get up and go with South Korea's baseball league targeting an early May start to their regular season. The KBO, which has been a test case for American sports leagues, could begin playing exhibition games as early as April 21st. They were originally scheduled to start their season on March 28th, so this feels like good news. Stateside, the Lakers plan to ask select members of their senior-level personnel to voluntarily defer 20% of their salaries. The team hopes to avoid having lower-income employees take a pay cut due to the coronavirus pandemic. Elsewhere, Dayton star Obi Toppin named the 2020 Wooden Award winner yesterday. He was a projected lottery pick, also took home the Naismith and the AP National Player of the Year awards last week. Hockey, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says it might not be possible for the league to complete its regular season, though they are still looking into playing into late summer. Most teams have 11 to 14 regular season games left on their schedule. And then there's this. Tom Brady's much-anticipated interview with Howard Stern is taking place as we speak. We are listening closely, and I'm told that we will have sound from this shortly. I'm being told that right now he's talking about his legacy. He's been talking about Bill Belichick and all of that. We have people who are listening to it and are going to turn it around for us here. And so I've got some of the guys with me as we wait for some of that sound to be ready for us. And I look down and I see Rex Ryan, I see Dominique Foxworth, and I see Damian Woody. D. Wood, I'll start with you. You were a teammate of Tom Brady's early in his career. Would it surprise you, with as careful as he has been with his words, every now and again dropping, as we have described them, breadcrumbs, but never really coming out and saying anything steadfast about Belichick, would it surprise you if he were to say something inflammatory about his former coach?
Yeah, it would surprise me a little bit. I understand that he's been, you know, 20 years of being in that system. You know, it's kind of ingrained. That's to me, that's the reason why it would surprise me, because you've been in that Patriots system, and it's almost ingrained for you to kind of speak and talk in a certain type of way. You know, listen, all the breadcrumbs have been there, like you mentioned, about Brady basically wanting to venture out, you know, basically break out from underneath Belichick's reign, or whatever you want to call it, and get into an environment that's more conducive to how he wants to end his career. But I don't see him saying anything inflammatory towards Belichick, the Patriots, or anything like that. I think he's too thoughtful about his legacy in that manner.
Well, listen, if anyone knows about saying inflammatory things, it is my friend Rex Ryan. So, Rex, I feel like you and Bill, for all of the rivalry, I feel like you've always had a very good relationship. I see the two of you talking at events when you were together and things like that. Would it surprise you if Brady said something that was less than complimentary about Bill?
Yeah, absolutely would surprise me. I don't think it's going to happen. When you look at these two, what they've accomplished together, no two men have ever accomplished that. So to me, those two guys will always be connected, even though they're not, you know, coach and quarterback anymore on different teams. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you know, it's like the old Cooperstown deal. He's going to go in as a Patriot, as a Hall of Famer, even though the NFL doesn't do that. But that's what it is. So he understands his legacy, and he's not going to say anything whatsoever. He may say it privately or whatever, but at the end of the day, he loves and respects Bill Belichick, and I don't think he's ever going to say anything negative about Bill.
I'm told that we're just seconds away from being able to play that for you. Neek, how about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to say anything inflammatory, but I'll be surprised if he doesn't say something interesting, because it seems like to me there's been a change in Brady in the last, I guess, say 5 years or so. Prior to that, he was always kind of reclusive, quiet, like say all the right things. And then he kind of made a shift. He started doing docuseries on Facebook, and he started being more outspoken. And I mentioned yesterday he made that little snide comment to Jim Gray when he asked if he felt appreciated. He said he refused to answer the question. So I think that Tom Brady has really made a decision that he's going to be be more of a public figure. And I don't think you go on Howard Stern expecting to get away with those cliches that Tom Brady and quarterbacks tend to say. So I'm going to be shocked if we don't get at least something interesting, something for us to chew on out of this interview. And I've been on Twitter watching it, and it seems like he's coming pretty strong. So I'm looking forward to when we get this out, and I hope no one misses it.
Okay, no, we're not going to miss it. Again, keep with us here. We have people working on turning it around for us right now. And yes, I agree with you. When I first heard that he was going on, and I've been a fan of Howard Stern since I was a little kid, I was surprised because Dominique has it exactly right. For those who may be watching now who don't know this, you don't go on Howard Stern if your plan is to say nothing. There are lots of ways of saying nothing, and going and being a guest on the Howard Stern show is a terrible way to try and say nothing. So he obviously wants to say something, and we will all find out together in just a moment, I'm told, what it is he wants to say about Bill and maybe other things as well. Howard is one who will, you never know where he might try to take a conversation, and we'll see where it goes. Go ahead, Neek.
My guess is that it's going to be extremely personal. And Howard Stern's not a sports fan. Like you, I've listened to Howard Stern in the past. He's not a sports fan. I'm sure that he's going to ask him some throwaway sports questions, but I think it's going to be more personal. It's going to be more about his life. And I think we're going to find out some things about Tom Brady that we wouldn't have found out prior to this. And it'll be interesting. To be honest with you, I love this new Tom Brady more than I enjoyed the win at all costs robot quarterback. The new Tom Brady's more open, makes me feel like somebody that I want to root for, somebody that I feel like I know and I like. Prior to this, it was just like a robot who throws touchdowns and wins championships. The difference here is somebody who's going to give us some insight to what's going on in his mind, what's going on in his life, and things that he's done in the past and things that he hopes for the future and how he feels about all of us talking about him ad nauseum. Like, that's a Tom Brady that I find interesting and intriguing much more than we play to win the game type of guy on to Cincinnati and to that Bill Belichick and Patriots kind of motto.
I agree. I guess, D. Wood, I would ask you, as one who has been inside there, that sort of robotic nature, how much does that would have been able to succeed the other way? Like, how much does just doing everything the Patriot way and saying all the right things and essentially saying nothing most of the time, how much do you think that contributed to the success that Brady has had?
Well, I think athletes strive in structure, in structure. And I think that, you know, that's the Patriots way has been the model of that. So there's been the reason why Tom Brady has succeeded so well, along with a lot of the guys that's been a part of that organization. But I do agree with Dominique here. It is kind of refreshing to hear Tom, you know, talking a different light outside of the Patriots bubble. He's giving you an insight in who, you know, how his mind thinks and his life and his family. And, you know, I'm just hoping that he brings it with Howard Stern, because Howard Stern tends to bring things out of people that they normally wouldn't say.
All right, let's hear it. I'm told we have our first soundbite ready. They asked him, Howard asked Tom Brady, when he first knew for certain he was leaving New England. Here's what Tom Brady said.
I probably knew before the start of last season that it was my last year. And I tried to, you know, I knew that, you know, it was just our time was, you know, it's, you know, our time was coming to an end.
So you know, who do you discuss that with? Do you discuss it with your wife? Do you say, listen, I think this is time. I still want to play the game. I'm going to go feel out other teams. I'm going to have my agent reach out to other teams. Did you immediately hear what, I mean, I don't know how that's done, but did you hear from every team in the NFL?
No, I heard from a lot of them. I mean, I think there was a, you know, there was a time where before last off season, I had a contract that got restructured. And then basically, you know, from my standpoint, I knew that at the end of the year, I was going to become a free agent for the first time in my career. And I had spoken about it with the ownership of the team, Mr. Kraft, and he was good with it. I had spoken about it with Coach Belichick. He was good with it. And that's what we decided to do. And if, you know, we, over the course of the season and the off season, you know, there wasn't a ton of substantial conversations for us to continue. We had some, and we both thought about it. And then in the end, you know, it was just a great way to end two decades. We had a great conversation about, you know, there's nothing, I know I said this before, there's no bigger fan of the New England Patriot organization than me, you know, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that I was going to play, I could continue to play there at the highest level. And I feel like I want to prove.
So I was writing things down there. Probably before the start of last season is when I knew I was leaving. That's not a surprise. D. Wood, you're shaking your head. Why? Or nodding your head, I should say. Why?
No, I think that's, you know, to me, that's new. Like, He knew before the season started that this was going to be the last year in New England. I don't think Thomas ever even mentioned like a glimpse of that. Now, I understand the contract, the way it was structured, he couldn't be tagged or anything like that. So that gave you a glimpse. But to hear Tom Brady say out of his own mouth that he knew before the season that this was going to be the last year in New England, to me, that's just fascinating. And he just wanted to put a bow on 20 years in New England.
He did throw in the word probably, but for what it's worth, it was interesting to hear him say it. Neek, how about you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I feel like you're kind of downplaying it, Greedy. Like, I thought that was a big kind of revelation. That's a big deal. He didn't have to say that. And I think most of the time, the old quarterback way is just say, oh, I was just focusing on the season. Like, this is a different Tom Brady. And that's a quote that you could have never imagined Tom Brady making while in a Patriots uniform. This is a new Tom Brady. And I think that's a big deal to say that he entered last season thinking that he most likely wasn't going to return to the team where he spent 2 decades winning 6 Super Bowls and going to 8. Like, I thought that was a big deal. It really grabbed my attention, and it's a tough way to go into the season. It'll be interesting to see how people in the New England media market digest that perspective from him.
I don't mean to disagree or argue. I guess what I'm saying is I feel like we all knew that, right? Like Brady,
we had, right.
He didn't say it, but I think everyone kind of knew it, and all of the reporting from the inside said that he had specifically arranged for his contract to make him a free agent and not allow them to franchise him. You don't do that unless you're seriously considering leaving. And
maybe I'm just...
Go ahead.
Maybe I just have a low bar for interesting Brady things because he never says anything interesting. So maybe I'm overreacting, but I was shocked to hear him say that.
Rex, your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess it's obvious now looking back. I mean, he sells puts his house up for sale. So does his guy that he's always trained with. So that was an indication right there. But I still never thought that he ever would leave New England, stop playing, and would play for somebody else. I just can't understand it. But at the same time, you know, so to me, you think about it. He never went to the OTAs last year for the first. I don't know if it was the first time, but he never did that. And so maybe he just, I don't know if he felt disrespected by their offer or whatever it was, or maybe he just thought it was a time for a change. I wish we'd find that out. But I do think it's interesting that he's come out and admitted that, hey, look, he just assumed that this was going to be his last season with New England. And yet he still went out and won 12 games with that team, obviously a team that really didn't have the personnel. So it's the kind of winner he is. But I'm still shocked to hear it.
Yeah, we are still monitoring that, and I'm told there will be more. We will continue to play for you the most interesting things that Tom Brady says on the Howard Stern Show. The interview continues right now, and we'll continue to bring it to you. He's commented on Bill Belichick is what I'm told, and so you'll hear that. We'll hear all the interesting things Tom Brady has to say today about his time in New England, his future in Tampa, and his years playing under Bill Belichick as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you, if only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are back on Get Up. Tom Brady's much-anticipated interview with Howard Stern has been taking place this morning, and we are listening and bringing you the most interesting things that Brady says. It's a unique environment, and he figures perhaps to open up in ways he wouldn't in other places. That does seem to be the case. Here's a little more from Tom Brady this morning. Told that we don't have it quite yet. We are working on that here. Again, a lot of things are being turned around as we speak, and we have about no excuses here, but we have about 25% of the normal number of people that we would here to do it for you. Again, he said earlier this morning in a soundbite we were able to play for you about 15 minutes ago, Tom Brady said for the first time that we had heard him say it, that he knew, used the word probably, that last season would be his last season with the New England Patriots. I was just scanning through some of the things that people are reacting to on Twitter. He seems to have been complimentary of Bill Belichick from what I can tell. And again, I'm told that our crew is working right now to turn around another of the sound bites for you so we can react. All right, I'm being told we have it. Here's Tom Brady on Howard Stern this morning.
The fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same in vice versa as well. The to have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same about me because we've expressed that to each other.
Okay, so that is what I was expecting him to say. There's Rex and D. Wood. D. Wood, your thoughts?
You know, I think Tom hit it right on the head. You know, when you talk about the unprecedented success of the Patriots dynasty, they'll be forever linked. And, you know, I know everyone's talked about this season, you know, now that they're apart, who was the one that really should get the kudos for the success, Bill or Tom? You can't separate one without the other. Bill is the ultimate head coach. I played under Bill. He's the greatest head coach in sports history. And Tom, you know, even developed by Bill, but he's the ultimate quarterback, the ultimate competitor. He just found a way to win games in a clutch. So I just can't separate the two when it talks about the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah, Rex, we did not expect him to, for lack of a better word, blast Belichick here, and he certainly seems not to be. I assume that doesn't surprise you at all.
No, it doesn't surprise me, Greedy. And when I look at it is, look, this was, and it seems crazy, but this was the perfect marriage between a quarterback and a coach. And this doesn't feel like a divorce. It feels like a separation because at the end of the day, they're coming back together and Brady will retire a Patriot and he'll be there with Belichick. So to me, you have 20 years. These two accomplished something no other combination has ever accomplished and never will, in my opinion. So to me, they're spectacular together. We're going to see how they are apart. I think they're both going to be successful. I think Brady, in my opinion, is going to have more success early. Because I don't think that roster in New England is very good. But Belichick is a great coach. You know, I just think that this is a year they take a step back. But Brady and Belichick, to me, will always be linked together, regardless of the success that Brady has moving forward or Belichick has moving forward.
Yeah, that is likely right. And Dominique, I have as well here, Dominique Foxworth. And, you know, you hear Brady saying, I feel that I would never have accomplished everything I did without him, and I'm pretty sure he feels the same way. I don't think that's ever been in question with Brady. We've never had reason to believe Brady didn't believe that. I guess there's been some times where we've wondered if Belichick viewed it that way. Maybe that's the one part of this that keeps jumping out at me.
It's funny because Belichick has never said anything that makes us believe that, but we have seen him coach around missing Brady in the past and have some success. So I think that we kind of project that on him, and everyone kind of thought in the past, or it's been reported, that the Belichick and Garoppolo situation or the Brady-Garoppolo situation, Belichick wanted to go with Garoppolo. So it suggests there are suggestions out there that Belichick thinks he could do better or do well without Brady in a way that Brady's never necessarily suggested. I guess him moving down to Tampa suggests that maybe he believes that he can succeed without Belichick, but it felt more like Belichick was pushing Brady out the door if we had to pick one. I know it's not literally what's happening, but it felt like Belichick was ready to move on well before Brady was. So I think that's why we've come to that conclusion. Whether it's true or not, none of us really know, but I do think that they both are looking forward to this opportunity to prove how good they can be separate from each other. I think it's human nature to want to kind of establish your success separate from someone else that you've had success with up until now, especially when the conversation is about who is the reason why. I know that Brady would say that they can't do it without each other, but I'm sure they both want to know how good they can do without each other.
Yeah, and Rex, you and Bill, the way you talk about your own players when you were coaching could not be more opposite. When you had an historically great player in Darrelle Revis, you love talking about it. You love talking practically every day about how great a player he was. With Belichick, sometimes it felt like he almost had to be dragged into praising his quarterback. And I don't know that that has as much to do with the personality, the relationship between the two of them, as it just does with Belichick's personality. That I think is how he views a coach-player relationship, regardless of how good that player is. Is that the way you see it?
Well, the way I see it is Belichick would always play to his own personality. And that's where he found success, and he'll never change. Okay, to say my personality, I was way different. But for me to try to do it Belichick's way, I would have fallen on my face like many of his assistants have. So to me, he's just being true to himself. Privately, I can promise you, and in front of me and everybody else, I've heard way different things, you know, from Belichick. Like, he knows how good Tom Brady is, all right? And so to me, you know, there's always that. We don't know what he says privately, but rest assured, he knows how good Tom Brady is. But I think it's just his personality. He's had success this certain way, and he's always going to do that. And he always has his entire coaching career. So don't expect him ever to change.
Yeah, Damian Woody, I'll give you a final thought on this here. Again, those two guys, they accomplished more together than any two football people ever have before. And here's Brady talking about it and a little more openly than he generally does. You were there at the beginning. What did you hear there?
Well, listen, I of course he's going to be very complimentary of the guy that they went to 9 Super Bowls and won 6. He's going to be that way. But make no mistake about it. You're talking about two alpha males in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And with all the success that they've had, don't think that in their mind at any point, particularly towards the end of this thing, that they haven't wondered, you know what? I want to see what I can do without this guy, because that's what real competitors do.
Okay, so we will leave it at that for the moment. Again, we are continuing to monitor that, and if there are other really interesting things that require bringing them to you here, we most definitely will, as Brady is on the Howard Stern Show. In the meantime, someone else that Tom Brady knows very well is Dana White. Dana White is too busy to be doing interviews like that right now because he's got a fight to put together. Reports are circulating that he has a venue for UFC 249. We will ask him about that and more as that man joins us live next right here on Get Up ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We are back on Get Up, and fight night is almost here. Dana White has insisted UFC 249 would take place as scheduled next Saturday. It doesn't mean he hasn't faced challenges. For one, Khabib Nurmagomedov removed from the event because it's clear he would have trouble leaving his native land and entering the U.S. That means the fight against Tony Ferguson is off for the fifth time. The highlight, Justin Gaethje, is stepping in on short notice to face Ferguson. So the card has come together, and Dana says he has secured a location in the U.S. to host the event, but has not disclosed the location and says he has no plans of doing so. Let's see if we can change his mind about that. We are delighted to welcome Dana White back to the program here. Dana, first and foremost, we hope you are safe and all is well. And let's talk about this. April 18th, I've seen a million interviews you've done on this about how important it is to you personally to put out product right now for your fans to see during this pandemic. Why is this so important to you?
Yeah, the support has been great, too, from the fans and from the fighters. The fighters want to compete. Nobody's competing in this event that doesn't want to compete. And you know, I've been set on this date. I postponed three of my shows, and I said that I was going to go April 18th.
Why is it so important to you, though? What specifically about this time and these events do you think is so important?
Well, I think now is a time, you know, where we need to find solutions. We need to find out how we can get back to normal and keep it safe. And with the UFC, safety is always an issue for us. It's been an issue for 20 years, and I promise you, on April 18th, we will go overboard as far as safety is concerned. We'll make sure that everybody who's involved in this event, from traveling there to participating or working the event, everybody will be safe. And we just did this in Brazil a few weeks ago, We had an event there with no fans, and it went off great, and everybody who left that event is healthy.
How would you describe the biggest challenges? What have been the biggest challenges for you and for UFC in putting this together under these extraordinary circumstances?
The biggest challenge is that the world changes every day. I mean, every day when we wake up, there's a whole new set of things that we need to face that have changed overnight. And now, as we get closer to this event, you have forces working against you to make the event not happen. So that's been happening to us the entire time, too. This is the hardest thing I've ever done, without a doubt. The hardest thing that I've ever done. But it's going to happen April 18th.
What pieces of it have been the most? I'm just looking for something specific. Like, what? I get that the world changes. We've all experienced that in our own different ways. What specific things have happened that have been hurdles you've had to jump over?
Well, obviously, as this thing continued to progress and get worse and worse, I mean, I never thought I'd see the day that Las Vegas shut down and the Strip was closed. I never thought I'd see that day in my lifetime. And obviously that happened. Then as, state by state started to close down, those type of things we faced, and a lot of politics that I'm not going to get into.
Let's get a little into it if we can.
It's not worth it. I've jumped through a lot of hoops, and I've battled with a lot of different forces leading up to this fight, and it's just not worth talking about. It's happening. We have a fight scheduled April 18th. The fighters are fighting. I have the whole thing figured out. Not only have I figured that out, I figured out how to put on my international fights too. So every time that there's been an obstacle, we figured out how to get around it, and while still, following the rules.
So one of the obstacles, of course, has been figuring out where to hold the fight. Where are you holding UFC 249?
So we're going to be live from ESPN. That's where. It doesn't matter where it is, because the only thing that, first of all, no fans can come. You can't come to the fight. You can't buy a ticket. The only place to watch this in the United States is on ESPN, and that's the only thing that matters. I know that several news sources are putting out, places where they think it is. ESPN is where it is. That's all you need to know.
Understood. What you're referring to is the New York Times is reporting that UFC 249 will be held on tribal land in California. Can you react to that?
ESPN.
So no confirmation whatsoever where it will be. Now, we've also heard about your island. You have procured, what we're told, an island where you will be able to hold future events. What can you tell us about this island?
Yeah, so we're still working on getting that deal done, which we'll have done this week. So if I keep putting on fights only in the United States with United States talent, I'll run through all my talent very quickly. This is a global sport. We do lots of fights internationally, and we had a lot of fights scheduled internationally. Those will continue. I have an island that we can fly everybody right into, and hopefully by like mid-May. Because the way that this thing looks, it doesn't look like this thing's ending anytime soon. When you listen to what a lot of these politicians are saying, I mean, they're talking about the NFL not going in September. If the NFL can't go in September, what does that mean for school? What does that mean for work? I don't know. This thing is very confusing.
I get it. And obviously there are so many uncertainties surrounding all of this. I do want to go quickly back to just one other thing that we talked about earlier. I read a fascinating interview with you this week in which you talked about how criticism is something that really does not bother you. There will be those who will be concerned, not just about the safety of your fighters, but that anyone's health or safety is being compromised by you putting these together, that any resources are being pulled away and all of that. What do you say to those people who are raising those concerns?
Right. Yeah. And I understand that. So people that are working this event are people that want to work this event. We're going to take every precaution to make sure that everybody is safe. The last thing I want to do is hurt any of my employees, my fighters, or myself. I'm going to be at this event, too. So every precaution is being taken. We have access to things that a lot of these other businesses don't have access to, medically. And I'm going to make sure that everything is in place to be safe. If you look at Vince McMahon from the WWE, that guy hasn't skipped a beat. He's been putting on events, and I haven't heard anything negative about his events or anything bad that has happened.
How different is it without the audience? You mentioned that you held the event in Brazil, and that is something I think a lot of us are preparing for here. You'll have it at UFC 249 without fans there, and we are facing the possibility of baseball, basketball, football without fans in the stands. You're up close and personal. How different was it? In what ways was it different?
Yeah, it was actually fascinating, but we've had experience with that, with the Ultimate Fighter. The Ultimate Fighter doesn't have fans either. And it's actually kind of cool. It looked good on TV, which is important to me. And let me tell you what, you can hear everything when there aren't fans. So it's a unique, different perspective watching at home without fans. I don't mind it.
I mentioned at the beginning that because of travel restrictions here, that we will not get a chance to see Habib and Ferguson this time around, which is the fight people want to see. Will we see that fight soon?
I thought this time it was going to happen. It's, you know, you can't see things like this coming, obviously, but if Tony wins next Saturday night, if he wins this fight, he will be the interim champion. Him and Habib will have to fight after that. It will have to happen. So, yes, cross my fingers.
And then one final thought I would like to get from you, because you're someone that I've gotten to know and you have a fascinating perspective on things. Back to the beginning of this conversation, what do you think it means for sports fans in this country, going through what we're going through right now, to have the opportunity to see sports, live sports of any kind, including what you're putting on now during this pandemic?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think it's really important. You know, if you're going to ask people to stay in their home for possibly months, people have to be entertained or people are going to start losing their minds. We have to figure out a way. We need to figure out solutions. Not just, no, this can't happen. This is absolutely impossible. We have to figure out solutions. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure out a way to do this safely. And, you know, it's going to be more expensive. It's aggravating. But people want this. People want to see it. And I'm going to deliver it next Saturday.
All right. One last time. Saturday, April 18th, UFC 249 on ESPN. And again, coming live from where?
Oh, it's coming live from ESPN. On ESPN Plus. That's the only thing that matters and the only thing you need to know.
Okay, fair enough. It's the only thing I'm going to find out today. I figured that out for sure. Dana White, thank you very much. Good luck with this. You stay healthy and we will see you a week from Saturday. Thanks.
You too. Thank you.
All right, it's Dana White again, UFC 249 here on ESPN, live from somewhere. We're not quite sure where. Very unlikely that it will be Augusta, Georgia. Last night would have been the champions dinner at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. And I insist we talk about golf because Tiger Woods, who would have hosted that dinner, hosted one last night anyway, wearing the green jacket. You see the post that he put up there with his girlfriend and his kids, which is delightful. I read somewhere that he had the menu he was planning to serve, which was sushi and steak, and sounds awfully good. Tiger Woods still putting together a dinner last night, even though he wasn't able to do it at Augusta National. And this is Masters Week. ESPN's taking you back to Augusta for some of the greatest moments in Masters history, starting today, 1:30 Eastern, with the 2018 par 3 contest that was legendary. Jack Nicklaus's grandson made an ace. And we'll follow that with Jack's epic final round to win his sixth green jacket in 1986, one of the most famous Masters ever played. All the action is today on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, coming up, who's more likely to win another Super Bowl going forward of these aging stars? Brady or Rodgers? A provocative question. And Neek will answer it. Coming up, Get Up, ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is one of my favorite times on the show, and he is one of my favorite guys. I will ask a series of provocative questions, and Dominique Foxworth, whether he wants to or not, is going to answer them. And here comes the first. We've been talking about Tom Brady a lot this morning. He and Aaron Rodgers were this week named the quarterbacks on the all-decade team. If I told you only one of them is going to win another Super Bowl, which one would you tell me it's going to be?
I think I'll go with Aaron Rodgers. I think what Tom Brady is going into down there in Tampa is a good situation, but what Aaron Rodgers has right now is already a great situation. They were 13-3 last year, so they had a championship caliber team last year, and I suspect that they're going to get a little bit better this year and try to make another run. I think it's going to be a long shot that either of them get a championship. It's a really hard thing to do, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick the younger guy who is definitely better, more talented at this point in his career, the younger guy on a team that has proven. What we see in the Bucs is a lot of stuff that we expect to improve on paper because Brady's there, but what we see in Green Bay is what we actually see, what we're going to get next year is what we actually saw last year in Green Bay.
All right, it's an interesting one to me. I think I might go the other way, but we'll debate it. Meanwhile, there's no debate that Jameis Winston's looking for a new team. Will he ever be a week one starter for an NFL team again?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's easy. Jameis Winston was not released, or they didn't pass on signing Jameis Winston because he wasn't good enough. They did because Tom Brady wanted to come down there. That's a different situation. So I know you are one of the guys who's on the Jameis Winston hill. I'm not going to climb up there with you, but I will say that when he is good, he is all pro good. The problem is that he has those bad issues also. And guys, teams who need a quarterback will focus on the positive. And those guys like Evans and Goodwin, they weren't 1,000-yard receivers just because they were throwing it to each other. Someone had to throw it to him. And Jameis Winston accounted for 84% of that team's yards. That's the highest of anybody in the league. They asked a lot of Jameis Winston. He gave it to him. He gave it to him with a lot of interceptions also. But another team would look at him and maybe imagine that a situation like what happened to Tannehill down in Tennessee, where he can come in and take over despite having a disappointing run at his first team.
Yeah, I agree with you on the good and the bad with Jameis. Unfortunately, frequently they came in the same series. One more on a quarterback. Will Cam Newton ever be a week one starter in the NFL again?
Yeah, I think he will. I think the obvious issues are he's coming off of some injuries, but Cam Newton is another guy who is proven. And again, Ryan Tannehill has done a lot less than Cam Newton, and Ryan Tannehill has gotten another job and succeeded in it. If you think about Cam Newton's career, he's been to a Super Bowl more recently than Russell Wilson and won an MVP more recently than Aaron Rodgers. So Cam Newton can play. The question is, if he's going to get somewhere and get on the field at some point this season, can he kind of reestablish his value? If he's able to put together a few good games at some point through this season, I'm sure that someone is going to be able to sign him up and want him to be their quarterback going into next season. I don't think he'll be the week one starter anywhere this season because he doesn't have a team. But I think if he can get on somewhere else and go out there and perform, then there'll be plenty of teams who feel like they're a quarterback away clamoring to sign Cam Newton.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He has been the MVP more recently than Rodgers. He has been in the Super Bowl more recently than Russell. And he is younger than either of them. That's Ask the Question, Answer the Question with Dominique. Meanwhile, Tom Brady was answering questions on the Howard Stern Show earlier this morning, and we have been listening in on it. And there was one that we just discovered that seems to be getting some traction on social media, and you'll understand why when you hear it. This is Brady talking about his legacy and the importance of it as he leaves New England to go to Tampa.
I never cared about legacy. I never once when I was in high school said, man, I can't wait for what my football legacy looks like. I mean, it's just not me. That's not my personality. So why would I choose a different place? It's because it was just time. I don't know what to say other than that. Like, I had done everything. I accomplished everything I could in 2 decades with an incredible organization, incredible group of people, and that will never change.
That's a fascinating one to me. The second part of that is what it is. That's what you would expect him to say. But the notion that he doesn't care about his legacy. Damian Woody, do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that one bit. I think every athlete cares about their legacy, cares about, how people talk about your name and all those type of things. Listen, he's an alpha male. Like, this means a lot to him. So, of course, you know, he wants to think of him in glowing terms. He wants people to think of him in glowing terms as it relates to who he is as a person, who he is as a quarterback, as a football player, who he is as a leader. So, no, absolutely not.
Rex, you believe it?
No, heck no. I mean, this guy, without question, it's important to him. I will say this, though. I don't think he allows him, you know, himself to really, you know, think about it. He puts the other thing, like the current ahead of everything, but don't think for a second his legacy isn't important to him, because it is. And as D. Wood just talked about it, any competitor wants to have a great legacy. And to me, it's important for every competitor. There's no better competitor than Tom Brady.
Nick, here's the part of it that I do believe, Dominique, and that is his legacy is secure. And I think he knows that. And I don't think I believe that he's not making decisions now based on that. That's the part I believe.
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page. I believe him in that he's saying, I don't care how this decision impacts my legacy. My legacy is already set. And all the stories that people talk about quarterbacks playing elsewhere and ruining their legacy, I don't think he cares about that part. I think he does obviously care about how he's going to be remembered. But I don't think this decision, he was sitting around contemplating, how's this going to impact my legacy? I think that's what he means by that answer, because no one cares. He's the greatest of all time. He could go down to Tampa and be terrible, and we're still going to remember him as the greatest quarterback of all time.
100%, yes. No surprise. Howard Stern. An interesting interview with Tom Brady this morning. Meanwhile, we continue here. Less than 9 minutes from now, Adam Silver said the NBA won't announce any plans anytime before May. What's the latest they can return? Stephen A. and Max discuss that and more. It's First Take coming up next on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Premieres tonight at 10, 9 Central on ABC, rated TV-14. First Take is just 4 minutes away here on ESPN. We're just ready for Stephen A. and Max and company. And Stephen A., we had Dana White earlier this hour. I just wanted to get a quick thought from you, as one, I know how much you enjoy combat sports. There are some who are critical of UFC going forward and of Dana for going forward with his events during this particular time. I wonder what your thoughts are on that criticism, on his decision to go ahead and do it.
Well, I don't have any problem with Dana White doing what he's doing. I completely support him. I understand where he's coming from, and I thought that he was very eloquent in stating the point that they deal with criticism and they deal with adverse circumstances all the time with the UFC. If you know its history and the things that they had to go through just to take the sport mainstream, you understand exactly where he's coming from. The only thing that I'll say to you, Greeny, is what I reiterated yesterday on First Take, and that is he needs to be concerned about the optics. Right, wrong, or otherwise, I'm certainly not taking any position on this, but we all know that as this coronavirus has invaded our society, that there are a lot of people that have looked at the presidential, you know, the administration of Donald Trump in the White House, and they've said, hey, you know what? Some people have agreed with him. Some polls show him in a very favorable light. Other polls haven't shown him in a very favorable light. And they've questioned whether or not the federal government was on top of this matter. Why is that relevant? It's relevant because Dana White has been a staunch supporter of the president. And if you have people accusing the president of being tone deaf at any particular moment in time, they may transition those thoughts to Dana White and believe he's being tone deaf. So I think it was incredibly important that he showed up on your show this morning to express to you what his thoughts were and what have you. I'm very, very happy that he's going to be coming on First Take next week, along with various other shows that I'm sure he'll probably end up on, because I think it's incredibly important that he, being the face and the voice of the UFC, goes out there before this event takes place and eloquently states what his position is and why, and disseminate that message to the masses so everybody understand where he's coming from, as opposed to accusing him of being tone deaf. I think as long as he does that, you're going to have your critics, you're going to have your skeptics out there, but you're also going to have a lot of people that are going to be incredibly grateful to him for making a concerted effort to try to return us to some degree of normalcy during abnormal times.
Stephen A., Max and company, getting ready to go. They are less than 2 minutes away, Steve, so I have to let you run. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on First Take again. They're less than 2 minutes away, and we'll wrap it up with a quick thought on that. Let me see who I still have with me here as we finish up again. Tom Brady was live this morning. I have Rex and Neek. Tom Brady was on the Howard Stern Show talking about Bill Belichick. He said nothing inflammatory there. He said only good things, generally speaking. Final thought, Rex, on Tom Brady and the things he said today.
I just think it's amazing that he felt in his heart that he had to play a whole season knowing in his heart that that was going to be his last season, how difficult that would have been.
And Nick, what was your number one takeaway?
Yeah, and he had success that season. And I think my number one takeaway is I'm starting to like the new Tom Brady. And, like, there's a lot of things not to like about Tom Brady, especially if you've been watching football for the last several years. But I just appreciate that he's being more open and being honest and direct. And it makes his trip down to Tampa a little bit more intriguing.
All right, it certainly was very interesting there, and it was terrific to have you guys. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who chose to get up with us this morning. As I have said, these are strange and unique times, but as sports fans, we will get through them together. And everything we do for all of you who are medical professionals and first responders. We thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.